grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Everybody, and welcome to episode 305 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host, coming at you live tonight. Episode 305 from Austin, Texas. Wow. You know, it's really interesting because we are coming up on a year since a lot of this country started going into lockdown, things like that. We are only a couple months away from that. So that is what really birthed, not that we didn't go live all the time with you guys for the last 5 years, but it's what birthed a lot of the video portion and a lot of our Facebook Live audience, things like that. So it's really been great to be able to produce this content for you guys and to bring you along on the ride and on the journey and be on the journey with y'all. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some pretty sensitive topics. So, sadly, trigger alert for some people out there. There may be some words that you don't like, that you don't enjoy hearing, but they're words that we have to use, because they're what normalize things. They're what make things comfortable within the modern vernacular to talk about for people, because sometimes saying the most ridiculous word like is what actively just helps you get the word out, man. So tonight we will be welcoming our special guest, Madeline Zekruiz, the author of I Married a Doctor Who Fixes Women Too. And we will be having the most important conversation about men's health, women's health, urinary health, things like that, that are, you know, like I said, uncomfortable conversations, things that we talk about on Dudes and Beer all the time. So we will be getting with our guest, Madeline Zekruiz, right after this message from our sponsor, Podcast Cadet. We'll be right back. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. That's right, folks. DUDES20 is the code that you want to use to save 20% off everything over there. Yo, full disclosure, I'm one of the owners over at Podcast Cadet. Years in broadcasting, stuff like that, and really seeing the issues that podcasters come up against whenever they're trying to start shows for brands, businesses, that kind of thing, is what brought me to help start that. So stop on by, use the code DUDES20. PodcastCadet.com is the website. Our guest this evening, Madeline Zekruiz, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. You know, this was one of those that whenever whenever we first contacted each other via the internet and started talking about having you on the show, it was one of those like, man, should I have it on? And then I remembered that, yes, we are all about uncomfortable conversations that actively have to be had. Like I told you off air, one of our most popular episodes over the last year was the episode about female genital mutilation that we did, which reached a huge audience. And when you're talking about trying to stop something like that, man, it's just great to be able to know that you made a little bit of a difference and that some people somewhere heard a message. So yeah, if I can reach some people about urinary issues, about health issues, both men and women, young and old, I think that's a fantastic thing to be able to do. So thank you so much for taking the time out of what I know is a very busy promotion schedule for your book. I married a doctor who fixes women too.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll tell you what, every single one of your listeners either has a urological situation or knows somebody who does, and nobody talks about it, which is why I wrote this book.
Well, let's start at the beginning here, because let's make one thing clear before we start. You are not personally a doctor. You just married a doctor, right?
Yes. Had I really understood what a urologist was, I might have reconsidered, because the subject, for me personally, I'm a very modest person, so I don't like talking about my plumbing.
Sure.
When I married this guy, people found out I was married to a urologist, a reconstructive urologist, and all of a sudden, all the questions and secret inquiries started to flood in over the last 20 years, and helped me to create this book, because there are basically 10 top urological problems for men and women, and I decided to start there.
Well, and, you know, the fact that you have broken this down, and like I told you before the show, my physical copy for the library over here over my left shoulder gets here Friday from Amazon. I have it on my tablet, which I do not have with me, but fortunately your publicist had sent me a PDF copy, so I was able to read a little bit of it over the last couple days, take a look at it, and it really does break down, like you were saying, what can be some very embarrassing personal medical situations into very common ways to approach them, very common ways to understand them.
Yes, it's for me, I had to take a lighthearted approach to what were very serious inquiries. And it was really hard for me to have people come up and start talking about their, you know, penis or vagina problems when I'm a computer chick. I came from corporate America. I just happened to marry a urologist.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that your plumbing broke down. I didn't even really know how it functioned. And after all these years of people coming up to me because they figured out that I was married to a urologist and secretly whispering their husband's urological problem in my ear, or their own, or even their child, then you could start to see the stress and the embarrassment on their face, which I write about in some of the stories in my book about, you know, the big approach. And I realized that, gosh almighty, these people are really suffering. Why doesn't everybody know that these urological issues can be solved? Because they're being isolated and it's affecting their life. And so I just was compelled to write this book in a way that was lighthearted, with a little bit of humor, lots of stories, and then end it with facts about the urological condition, and eventually sending you off to your urogynecologist to get your quality of life back.
Well, and you know, I think that's really the biggest part of it, is the quality of life issue that things like this bring on, because urological issues are one of those that are kind of like having bad feet, where it really does cause a chain reaction with other functions in your body, you know. And when you have urological issues, you can start having kidney problems. You can start having a whole myriad of issues, not to mention the psychological issues that can come from it,
you know,
the embarrassment that can come from it, things like that. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely a fact. And that's why you want to get to a urologist, because although you have a family doctor or a gynecologist, when you start having any kind of plumbing problems, you really need to get to your urologist, because there could be an underlying health condition that a urologist is trained to identify where your family practice guy is not, or your OBGYN is not. So anytime you have any kind of plumbing issues, anything to do with the bladder, kidneys, ureters, penis, vagina, you want to get to the urologist and make sure that you don't have underlying conditions that can impact your health long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, here's one of these moments, folks, where your host will be open with you, because I am somebody who actively had an issue like that when I was a young child. I will raise my hand with the rubber sheet club. I was a bedwetter and had the issue for a very long time. And, you know, for a very long time, I love you so much, Dad. My father did not understand what was going on. My mother didn't understand. Most families don't understand what's going on. And there's a couple different things that can cause it. My personal issue was the fact that my brain, when I went to sleep, did not produce the chemical DDAVP, which is normally what will give you some sort of waking dream state where it's like, ooh, hey, I hear water. I need to pee. Mine didn't do that. It gave me an overdose of the one that was like, you need to sleep hard. which would make me sleep through the urgency of the biological need to pee. And I had what was known as a reflux, where the doors of my bladder swung both ways. So the combination of these two things, both unrelated, the DDAVP is what led to my bedwetting ultimately. But the danger was that because I had this reflux and my bladder went both ways, because of a weak muscle there, I had my urine like recycling through my kidneys, things like that. So it really does become, especially for young children, things like that, a health issue rapidly. Like, you're looking at possible kidney stones in the age of like 12, 13 years old.
Oh, yeah. There's a, you know, it is a domino effect. Urology is a domino effect. And that's why I really wanted to start the conversation.
Yeah.
That people... don't be embarrassed about your urine or your penis or your vagina and its functions, because everybody has one or the other. And as my husband says, 100% of the people on the planet at some point in their life will need a urologist.
Yeah.
And that's mind blowing. So why aren't we talking about this?
It comes down to the fact of a prudish society. I think that, because there are societies that talk about it, there are cultures that are much more open about medical issues than we here in America are. We are very, very close-lipped. Like, that is a private thing. We do not talk about that kind of stuff, even amongst family, you know? Now, like, granted, right. I come from a Cajun family. Hey, go sit around like a Cajun family reunion sometime and have a beer and just like overhear the conversations. Like it gets as personal as you can get when it comes to some of this. And it's normally like, well, you know, Don isn't going to tell you what happened at the prostate doctor a couple months ago, but you know, and that's just how it is, you know. They're going to tell your story to the family because they love you enough to tell your story.
It's so true, and that's such a taboo subject. I have a chapter on the prostate, and I actually have a picture in there, a drawing of a prostate exam, because people don't even know what it is or where it is or its function.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those, like the duodenum. It's just it's nebulous to people. They do not understand it. Yet still, it can cause so many issues.
Until they're about over the age of 40, and then all of a sudden, when they try to pee, it's like skipping rocks across a pond. And
I caught that analogy. Well, and you know, with that embarrassing moment out of the way. And with the understanding that we're going to talk about many more embarrassing moments this evening, folks, let's go ahead and start kind of, well, to use the turn of phrase we use on this show, cracking the nut on this topic. and getting into it, because, you know, like we're saying so many times, these medical issues that come up, we keep to ourselves. Like we said pre-show, frequently we are prudish enough that we're so ashamed of our issue that we don't even want to bring it up to our doctor. And it comes to the fact of the doctor even sometimes telling the husband or the wife, here, go put this gown on. I don't need a gown. Go put the gown on. And that's really when they're prying the information out of the other loved one, where it's like, okay, so what's really the problem? What's he here for? And
so true. My husband tells me that when, you know, usually the husband comes in and he'll bring the wife, or my husband hopes that they bring the wife, because he'll ask the patient, okay, you know, why are you here today? How can I help you? And they'll talk a little bit and he'll let them finish. And then he turns to the partner and says, okay, now tell me why he's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
precisely.
Things like a jaybird.
Yeah. And hey, man, if that's just it, if I got to call you out in front of them because you're tight lipped, okay. But it's, and it's strange. It's an odd thing, like to share to a stranger with a stethoscope what is going on behind closed doors, what's going on privately. But it's one of those that you're kind of digging a hole without bringing a ladder, if you don't talk to your doctor. And if you aren't just straight with them, doesn't matter what terms of phrase or words you use, you know, for penis and vagina, I guarantee you they will get the gist of what you're talking about.
Well, and that's right. And let me tell you, there is nothing they have not heard. So you are free to talk about everything and anything to your doctors, because they've heard it all before. That's their profession.
Yeah, precisely. It is their job to answer questions about your health. So with that in mind, let's start kind of going into some of the things, especially that people should be looking for in their loved ones.
People should be doing what for their loved ones?
Things that they should keep an eye out for. You know, if you happen to have a tight-lipped husband or wife, things like that.
Well,
you know,
what I watch for, this is easy. So, you know, when you're cohabitating with anyone and you've been doing it for a while, sometimes they'll use the restroom with the door open. And it's not like you can escape the sound of them peeing. And usually, for men, you can tell right away when they start to have prostate problems, because first of all, they'll go in there and stand there for like 1 to 2 minutes, right? And then you just get the little bit, and then a little bit more, then a little bit more. And it's like taking forever. And, you know, when it first starts happening, you wonder, what is going on, because most wives don't know about the prostate and that it can start to interfere with your pee stream. So that's kind of the first one to listen for is, you know, go ahead, listen to your husband or boyfriend's pee stream. And if it's not flowing in a nice, strong, steady stream like your 17-year-old son's, then clearly it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, of course, there's that one moment, you know, and I'm sure growing up in a family of tire salesmen, mechanics, things like that. It's one of those like, what do you mean you don't know what your car was sounding like? You know, like, I'm sure that your husband is very much the same way. Like, well, I don't know. What were you sounding like before? You sounded normal whenever you pee? Because there's a normal and there's a not normal, you know, like there's a normal when you're driving your car down the road and there's a, hey, there's something going on. So
it's true. It's like when you're driving down the road and your car backfires, that's usually not good.
Yeah. You may want to get that checked. And you know, we make these analogies, we make fun of it, but it really is the fact of, are you paying attention to those things? And like, I just turned 45 this year. So, yeah, the last few years, especially propensities that are in my family on both sides, things like that, heart-wise, health-wise, that kind of stuff, my radar is sweeping 360, 24/7, for those kind of issues.
Do you have prostate cancer in your family?
I do have a few cases of prostate cancer and prostate issues in my family.
So they say if you have any prostate cancer in your family, especially on the men's side, you need your first prostate exam by age 40.
Wow. Wow.
Have you done yours yet?
I have not. And whenever I asked about that with my doctor, she was like, we'll talk about that when you turn 45. And I was like, okay. You know, and
did you know you have family history?
Yes. And the sad thing that kind of hurt me a little bit was the same thing was echoed from my cousin, who died at 28. Despite asking
from, what?
From hyperaggressive breast cancer, despite asking her doctor for well woman checkups and mammograms and things like that. No, we can't do that yet. It's not covered, anything like that, you know, not until this date. And yeah, it was one of those like, wow, that's kind of horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. And there are issues like that here and there. That's an issue for a totally different topic. But when it comes to taking care of these things, when it comes to looking into these things, it's one of those that you do have to keep track of it. You really do. When you get to a certain age, you have to kind of make sure that everything that's coming out is all right. And
well,
if it's
that's
not,
right. There's a high level of self-accountability, right? You want to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's okay to have to push back on your doctor if they don't want to give you that, you know, prostate exam at age 40, sure. Even though you told your family practice guy I have a family history. It's fine to get another doctor until you get that referral to a urologist for that checkup. And so there's a lot of self-accountability because not all doctors are good. There's a lot of great ones. But some, you know, maybe they're just not really paying attention or they're having a bad day. And you've got to really self-advocate and be self-responsible for pushing yourself through the door to taking care of your own health.
Well, and I'm sure that had I pushed, it probably would have happened. She has been amenable for most things like that. But yeah. So with that in mind, let's start talking about a couple of the issues that people in their mid-20s, stuff like that should start looking out for on both sides of the fence, because I don't want this to just be a male-ended conversation here. There are just as many women that suffer from urinary issues, that suffer from, psychological issues from that, shame, everything else. So,
well, that's one thing I was going to say next. You said, what should we listen for the man? Well, here's something you can watch out for the woman. And we call it bathroom mapping. Mm-hmm. So mapping your way around town, where's the next bathroom? Because I have to pee every 20 minutes or I'm leaking and I don't want anyone to know. And I didn't really know what this was until my parents moved down here to Texas with me. And I took my mom out shopping and she was like, where are we going? And I'd be tell her where. Do they have a bathroom? I'm like, yeah, they have a bathroom. And it got to be every stop we made, she wanted to make sure they had a bathroom. And I was like, Mom, I think you're drinking too much coffee. Because I didn't know anything about urology. And, of course, she'd had 8 children and had had pelvic prolapse and incontinence and you name it. Her plumbing was not functioning. And she kept it quiet for 30 years and dealt with it. Until, I married my husband. He's like, well, this is going to end because we can fix this. And she ended up having, a surgery to help with her incontinence. And when it was all done, she said, oh, my God, had I known about this
amazing
30 years ago, I would have done it then.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so leaking for women, big one.
Well, and, that's just, and a lot of people think that is just an older woman when they laugh thing. That is just a
comes
upon you upon menopause thing, right?
It can, but it's not. And I'll tell you why, because my husband has had younger women. A lot of younger women come into his practice for incontinence and they'll have babies at a younger age. And I was so shocked to learn that a 28, 30, 34-year-old woman was incontinent. And I didn't understand that. And it's because their pelvic floor weakens and they start to leak. And it's often brought on by childbirth. But what gets them into the urologist, because I'm like, what? Why did they wait so long? Why are they coming in, or why are they coming in so young? And he said, you know what gets them to come in? What finally gets them to come in at that young age is when they're having sex and they have an orgasm and they leak urine all over the place. That's what gets them in there.
Mm.
And I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
but
most,
it's real. That's
sure.
A quality of life issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just it. Those are the issues that we don't get to hear about so frequently. And of course, that's not to say, hey, everybody, let's go start sharing that with everybody that you know. But to not be able to tell your doctor. For somebody, like your mother, to have not even been able to tell her doctor for that
many
years.
My dad.
Or her dad.
My dad had no idea.
Yeah, or your dad.
Yeah. They were married 64 years and he only figured it out towards the end because she just kept it so private.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
and it causes, just another thing for both men and women with these issues. The underlying thing that happens is that it causes the patient to isolate because they're having, continence or incontinence issues. And it forces them to isolate because they don't know when the next leak is going to occur.
Yeah.
And they're afraid that not only are they going to leak, but what they're also afraid of is, what if I smell? And so it's safer to just not engage. It's safer to isolate because it's so unpredictable. And that is a real problem, not only in society, but in relationships. I mean, think about at the grocery store, you see somebody hustling into the bathroom. When you talk about this subject of urology, you're going to have a lot more compassion for these people. Even if you're at the airport and, you know, they're standing in line, especially women waiting for the toilet. When you see a woman seriously dancing there, hopefully you'll learn that urology is a serious subject. Let her go to the front of the line and help her out. Be kind and compassionate, because people are hiding these problems.
Well, and that once again, I think, is such a large component of it. A, the shame factor and the hiding of it from loved ones, from husbands, from wives. So what have you seen over the years being married to your doctor husband, and in the book, what have you seen that really changes people most of the time and brings them, like you were saying, the younger women, it's their point of orgasm where something happens. But I
think the biggest one that I've seen, there's a chapter I write on in my book, and it's called Urological Foreplay, because I feel like that's what I've been playing for the last 20 years with everybody who comes up to me with their problems. It really is urological foreplay, because they're telling me secretly, whispering, walking up when nobody's looking, "Oh, Mrs. Rees, do you have a minute?" And a great one I put in my book is about my car salesman, who's just the nicest man in the world. And he's a Latin older man, very proud, and they are very private. They do not talk to women, especially, you know, a pretty woman, about their urology problems. Mm-hmm. But on this day, this gentleman was so nice to me. "Oh, hi. Would you like some coffee? You want a donut?" And I'm like, "Gosh, you know, I got to go because my car's ready." And he's like, "Oh, before you go, I just have a quick question." And he kind of touched my elbow to stop me. And I looked at him, and you could see the beads of sweat on his head.
Wow.
And I was like, "Well, sure. What, you know, yeah, what's up?" And he goes, I think I need an appointment with your husband." I'm like, "Sure, no problem." He's like, "I called, but I can't get in for 6 months, and I'm peeing blood." And when he said that, like, this beads of sweat started gushing out of his head. And I am put in that position all the time.
Wow.
And I'm not a doctor, and I don't know how to help his peeing blood situation. But I actually did call my husband on the phone right on the spot and said, "Gosh, let me get my husband on the phone.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell him what's going on, and let's see if this is an emergency." And so I dialed up the husband. Luckily, he took the call, and I pretended to go shop for cars. But that man and his culture and his age was so terrified of peeing blood that he literally asked me this question in public, because he really didn't know what to do.
And, you know, when you hear stories like that, and this is just because, like, you live in what would be considered small town Texas to some people, where people know you, and they know that your husband is a doctor. It's one of those that, hey, and I could see how that could happen, you know, and how it becomes a point of trust. And you go into that a lot in your book. What has that been like for you? Well, no, I mean, this is an honest question that you may or may not get asked a lot, but what has it been like for you psychologically? Because that can be tough. That can be really, really hard. You know, it's kind of akin to being like a deacon's wife, you know, or a pastor's wife, where you're not necessarily the one with the job, but everybody seems to come to you with the problem.
It's so true. And, you know, the journey for me has really led me to have an open heart and an open mind, because every single person that has secretly inquired about their urological problem with me has been terrified, mortified, embarrassed, ashamed, humiliated. These are not fun subjects.
No.
And they are really coming to me hoping and trusting that I'll be kind, compassionate, and hopefully helpful to either, because they always say, can you ask your husband if I should come see him? And of course, I always like, sure, of course I will. And then I have to ask them, and every single time it's like, yes, have them come in and see me. Because by the time you're hunting me down in the high school parking lot, secretly, you know, dodging behind cars to make sure nobody sees you talking to the urologist's wife, because everybody knows it's, you've got to have a problem if you're talking to her.
Yeah, buying brownies from a bake sale that you don't need just to talk to the doctor's wife.
Right. But it's become my normal now. And so I really feel honored that I am approachable and that people would trust me to at least guide them. I'm not a doctor. I can't help them, but I can certainly ask their question for them and relay it back to them. And it's been quite an interesting journey from computers to penis and vagina discussions.
Well, I'll bet. To say the least, at least in the health realm, I'm sure that there's 100 ways that we could skew that in a crazy way, talking about computers and penises and vaginas. However,
probably it's easier to talk about hard drives than it is penile implants.
Hey, I see what you did there. But even whenever it comes to that topic, you know, and even when it comes to issues with women like labiaplasty, things like that, you know, these are topics when you're talking about the ego and the id, when you're really talking, urology is one of those few fields of medicine where psychology truly, truly comes into play so hardcore, you know?
It does. It's really a very difficult subject psychologically.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pressure in society, especially on men. You know, I have a whole chapter on penis pressures in society, because why is it so important and why is it so devastating when it's not working anymore? And by the way, for every single man listening, that is a temporary situation. So get to your urologist, because there are solutions that can help and get your quality of life back.
And like you said, the quality of life, making sure that people are happy with the life that they're able to live. And we were having the conversation before the show about soldiers and issues that so many have from old to young. And to hear some of the stories that are out there, to know some of the issues that happen with those guys to begin with. To know that, yes, when many of them come back in wheelchairs, that kind of stuff, that, yeah, they have a whole new world of maintenance.
They do. There's, I'm proud to say that Boston Scientific supported my project wholeheartedly. And I wrote a whole chapter on penile prosthesis. And Boston Scientific offers so many varieties. I chose Boston Scientific because my husband uses their product frequently, but more importantly, they really got on board and were excited that I was brave enough to write this book and put a message out that there is help for your erectile dysfunction. And there are great devices that are affordable, easy to use, lots of different models depending on your anatomy, urology, your situation. And soldiers are one example. You know, they come home and they're young guys, and a lot of them are in wheelchairs, and they don't have a dexterity of their hands. So there's, you know, penile prosthesis devices that really help facilitate them, you know, still having their sex life. And that goes for older people with Parkinson's whose hands are not functioning properly. There's a whole bunch of solutions based on your personal history and health. And that's really my message, especially for the erectile dysfunction subject, is that just get to your board certified urologist, because you don't know what you don't know. And there are lots of solutions available to help anybody with erectile dysfunction. And I would encourage everybody to, you know, talk about it.
That's the important thing, is being willing to talk about it. While we still have him in the room, I would love to be able to ask the doctor a couple questions, if that is a possibility.
Yes, the doctor is right here. He's been listening into the conversation the whole time, and ask away.
Fantastic. Doctor, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Most definitely. Number one, I think it is so fantastic that your wife has taken it upon herself to bring this message to people, and to really bring it to herald this cause to so many, because it really is one of those, everyone will need a urologist eventually.
That's correct. And she's been very helpful in educating the population by approaching it in such lightheartedly. So I hope that a lot of people get to read the book and then realize that they're not alone, that all these subjects are shared by a large segment of the population, and that, more importantly, they can certainly be helped. Very few things are really untreatable in my world.
I mean, yeah.
I find solutions for most things.
Well, with that in mind, while we have you here, I'd like to spend the next 5 minutes just asking you a couple of questions that I'm sure you hear frequently, but are probably one of those, like, if you went onto WebMD and looked up urinary issues, that you might look up, you know? What are one of the main things that you see people coming in for that they should look out for in their later 20s, 30s, things like that, before they get to a point of being able to go in for well woman checkups, being able to go in for prostate exams, things like that?
So that's a great question, by the way. So one of the things that we commonly see is what is called bladder overactivity, or an overactive bladder, which is essentially a syndrome that involves the symptoms of urgency, frequency of urination, sometimes with incontinence, but not necessarily, and sometimes with getting up at night. It's called nocturia. And believe it or not, it affects about 37 million patients here in this country alone, and it's across all age groups. Yes, it is seen more in the elderly, but you can certainly see it in the 20s and 30s and 40s and so on. But it's one of those conditions that, you know, people who are in college that have to get up frequently a couple of times during a lecture because they can wait. Driving, they have to stop before they get to where they go because they have that urgency, that they have to get up at night a few times to urinate. As you can imagine, that can be very impactful. Or, you know, they're at a meeting. They're in somewhere at a meeting and they have
absolutely
to stop. So we see so many of those, and the variety of reasons is, as you are mentioning, regarding brings them lack of maturation and bedwetting. There's something related to the brain that allows that to happen. So the key yeah. is that with those conditions, people can be helped. There are very effective treatments for that. It goes from very conservative to some more invasive things. But by any of those modalities, you will be helped. And you'll see, and they think they come in very embarrassed because they think, oh, my God, I'm the only one, because they're afraid to tell their doctor, saying,
yeah.
Depending on the internet can be very helpful, but also it can be very damaging. Because
it can be a
anybody
scary
can,
place, man. I'm sure that it can be yeah. really hard for you to undo some of the damage done sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, just to give you a little example, you know, most people are told they have to drink 8 glasses of water a day because it's good for your kidneys, it's good for your bladder. Well, imagine that. And by the way, that's not based on science. Somebody somewhere along the line came up with that. And someone with overactive bladder, that's probably one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And let's say cranberry juice is the other culprit. Everybody thinks cranberry juice is the cure-all for all bladder ailments. And actually, in somebody with bladder overactivity, it's also one of the worst things you can do because it's very acidic, irritates the bladder, it makes you go frequently, even if you have just a little bit of urine in there.
Yeah, yeah, it is a natural diuretic.
Yeah, so those are things that we see in that population, that those age groups that can be very impactful on the quality of life.
Yeah, and I know myself, like I said, it was my secret that I had for years. There was one other person that I had that was very close to me in my life as a friend. And our families were close, things like that, who had the bedwetting issue that I had, but not the reflux issue that I had with my bladder. Like I said earlier, it was the DDAVP that started making me wake up. So
you were treated with DDAVP, either the pills or the
nasal spray.
The nasal spray, yeah.
And
yeah,
this
yeah.
was... So, this was like 1987. This was revolutionary stuff when it came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when people started understanding.
Yeah,
so, yeah. You about by puberty. So about 98% of teenagers, the something called the voiding center in
yep.
the base of the brain. That matures enough so that you're able to control and not have to, and allows you to control your urine during sleep. In that 2% that doesn't mature, then there's a decrease in that DDAVP production. And then when that's recognized, and, you know, that's one of the treatments that really was helpful. They used to use a lot of alarms and things
yeah.
like that to,
yeah.
to wake
oh,
up the child
oh man,
the
there
middle.
Were like there were like monstrous devices made.
Right.
It was like well, no, I mean there were like rubber mats that like shocked you slightly to wake you up, like all kinds of twisted stuff out there to keep people from wetting the bed. It was like trying to make sure that your loved one didn't come back from the dead.
That's right. I call those like medieval torture devices.
Yeah.
Is what I described.
Yeah, it was one of those like, good God, why would I even look for help? The help is worse than the problem.
That's right. That's right. And this medication, and so you know, first
well,
the nasal spray came, but then the pills also came, and
yeah.
they have even patches.
And that's so fantastic to know. Like I said, I had two coexisting problems. I had the reflux, which was one thing that they watched well after I was taking DDAVP. It came to where I was going for catheterization and watching every other year. And that stopped
right,
by the
right.
time I was 20. And
did you grow up?
Yes. Yes. Eventually, the muscles in, I guess it's the sphincter in the bladder there, became right. strong enough that they stopped. All good, didn't it? And by that point, I was already off of DDAVP, that kind of stuff. So I had already stopped the bedwetting from the DDAVP taking over, and my brain finally producing that on its own in a delayed reaction. Like you said, most people by puberty, their brain is producing that, a good 2% of it. It's 2% of us. It's not.
Yeah. Very well. Yeah, you're a great story, because that's exactly what happens. But between the time your puberty and when it goes away finally, or is treated, I mean, it's terrible, because remember, you are afraid to go on sleepovers or camping.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
No, I didn't have sleepovers. I didn't go camping. I didn't go on campouts with Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, things like that. Like I right. said, there was that one kid that I knew. And when they moved, it was like, well, guess I'm on my own. I didn't do sleepovers anymore. And I was just okay with that. You know, by that point, I was mid junior high. And it was like, I guess I'm going to have to accept that this is just the case.
Yeah, so that you know, there's a very strong family predisposition. So
yes,
it definitely can rock families.
And that was one of the things I was just about to say, is that there is a familial disposition to that kind of thing. And I'm just for those that aren't familiar with it and didn't know that maybe they had the problem. Maybe they blocked it out because, yeah, it stopped when they were 8, 9 years old, something like that. When our memories really become concrete, that kind of stuff. But I've got a 3.5-year-old that my wife is attempting to get to bed on the other side of the door right now. a lot of people may not realize, though, Doctor. Yeah. What age should they be worried? What age should they start going, okay, it might be time to take my kid to the doctor?
You know, the early teen years, I mean, it's not unusual for, you know, the 7, 8-year-olds
sure.
that to still do on and off some bedwetting. But yeah. if it's occasional, that means that they're going to be okay. But if it's every night and you see that it's really affecting the yeah. child, then earlier is better than later. So,
yeah.
you know, 7, 8, 9 year olds, if it's affecting them and they get upset, and more importantly, for you guys, which is wonderful for your child, is that you know what it is and you're educated about it.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, in other families in which they're not as educated as you, it can be very traumatic for them
yeah.
for the child, because they put a lot of guilt on them. They think it's laziness, that they just don't want to get out of bed to go pee.
Yeah,
and
great. My kid's just really scared of the dark. You know,
yeah.
all and kinds of things.
So it's based a lot on how it's affecting the dynamics of the family mm. and how it's affecting the child. So because now the treatments are so effective and it's so helpful, then, you know, if during those 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, by all means, I would certainly have a visit with a pediatrician.
Yeah.
The pediatrician is very well in tune with that these days.
Yeah.
And if not, a pediatric urologist for sure can help him take care of that.
Absolutely. I to this day, I don't know if you're out there. I don't know if you're a listener. I don't know if you're family, kids, whatever listeners. But Dr. Lewis B. Fram, I thank you for treating me like a human being. That was my urologist. He was the man that introduced me to DDAVP. He was the man who changed my life. He was the man who, after he talked into his little tape machine and his very throaty, deep NPR type voice, would look at me and go, Chris, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's a great doctor. So, you know, so many years later, and he had that wonderful impact on your life, and he was so empathetic. You know?
Absolutely.
That's the most important part of our job.
I mean, hey, man, I don't know how many interns he saw me give a knee to the jaw to when they were trying to put me under. or trying to catheterize me, you know, like I remember a couple times they had to put me under to catheterize me because I was having none of that.
Yeah, that is so traumatic. I know
it is. It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. You know, because it's tough. It's not a comfortable process for a grown folk to go through, much less for a kid to go through and have to expect every year.
We dread. Let me tell you, from the other side, that's one of the really uncomfortable parts of our job, that we know how uncomfortable it is, and that we have to submit our patients to something so you know, it's terrifying, especially for a child. My gosh.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, we certainly try to rationalize it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a terrible thing to have to go through.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on, talking. We'd love to have, of course, you on again. If you could please hand the phone back over to Madeline, we'll talk with her for a couple more minutes, but there with those medical things, I really wanted to get a doctor to talk about that, because I think that's really important, especially whenever you're talking about anybody's health.
And well, I'll be happy to be on whenever you like.
Sure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, because we're always looking to have doctors on, that kind of stuff, so that we can get these messages out to people, so that we can get them to understand that these things are normal. These are conversations that you should be ready and willing to have. If you're a kid, you should be, if you're a parent, you should be making your child comfortable enough to have that conversation with you.
Indeed.
And I even had to have the conversation with my wife, because, like I said, 3.5-year-old on the other side of the wall, as we started potty training a while back. It was one of those, like, sweetheart, I want you to know this is one of the things that I went through as a kid. If it comes to that, Dad will be the one to have that conversation with him. Not a problem.
Right.
You know. Because too frequently it is a conversation that men are not willing to have with our loved ones. We're not ready to be open about that.
So kudos to you for approaching it that way, and you'll make your child's life so much easier. And the transition will be so much easier for him.
Well, thank you so much. Look forward to having you on again. Speaking of transitions, if we could get Madeline back on the line real quick.
Here I am.
Hey! Wow, that was smooth.
Right? We're sitting here next to each other in bed, sitting up, relaxing with our feet kicked up and having a great conversation. I'm so glad that you are brave enough to invite me on your show, because as you can imagine, I've had a tremendous variety of reactions from podcast hosts and magazines, radio shows. Yeah. And thank you for being brave.
Well, absolutely. Not everybody's brave enough to use the word on air, but I am.
Yes.
I'll even use the word, but not too frequently.
it is a tough subject. Nobody wants to use the P or the V word. It's so mortifying, isn't it?
You have to. And it wasn't long ago that my wife came up to me and asked me if I had taught my son the word penis. And I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I supposed to call his penis?
Right. I have a chapter on that in my book, which is so funny, because when my child was in kindergarten at a Catholic school, the teacher went around the classroom asking the kids, what does your what do your parents do for a living?
Sure.
And I always talk to my kids, you know, very clinically, because Papa was gone most evenings, and I'd have to take the kids over to the practice in their onesies and pajamas to give Papa a kiss goodnight. And they're like, Mama, how come Papa's still working? I'm like, well, he's fixing Grandma's and Grandpa's penis and vaginas so they can go pee-pee like us. And they're like, oh, okay. And, well, we want him to be here. I'm like, but if your Grandma or Grandpa were broken, wouldn't you want Papa to fix them? And they're like, oh, yes, Mama. So the teacher goes around and they ask my son, what does your father do for a living? My papa fixes broken penises and vaginas. And he got in trouble, and they sent him to the principal's office. And
cursing.
The priest called me and said, your son has a potty mouth. And I said, quite the contrary. He used the proper clinical terms.
Yeah.
And it would be good for you to know that you own one, too.
That's
so
right.
So if you don't like the answer to the question, please don't ask the question.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry if you go to the doctor and talk about St. Peter regularly, but we call it a penis at my house.
And it starts at a young age that we shame them for talking about our
absolutely
plumbing. It's crazy.
Well, and it really is kind of a backward situation, you know, because that, I mean, honestly, like, I pride myself so much on the fact that, like, my son will come and tell you, I have a nasty bum. He'll come ask you for help. And it's like, that's awesome.
And I'll tell you why that's so good.
Please.
I'll tell you why that's so good, because there's a condition that can happen to teenage boys that if you don't get it treated within 24 hours of the onset of pain, their testicle can die.
Yes.
And they become infertile.
Yep.
And that's called attrition. And so what happens a lot of times is that kids, these teenage boys, are so embarrassed that they have pain, and they'll have it, and it gets to the point where it's so bad that it's already been 24 hours because the testicle died, that the testicle has to be removed because they were too embarrassed to say, Mom, Dad, I'm having shooting pain in my testicles, because nobody will even say the word testicle.
Yeah.
So to all the parents out there listening, I would encourage you to have this conversation, that tell your sons that if you have the slightest discomfort in your testicles, please come to me right away, because there's a condition called attrition. And if you wait more than 24 hours, the lack of blood supply will kill the testicle, and your testicle will have to be removed.
And that's
so unnecessary.
Well, you know, and it happens a lot, especially with people that play some pretty hardcore sports, that kind of stuff, where you get twisted testicles, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I know that happened to a very good friend of mine one time, and it was almost hospitalization from the pain.
Yeah, it's serious business, and you want to be able to have the conversation. You want your kids to embrace their plumbing, right? Just like you should embrace your plumbing.
Well, you know, with my other podcast, Talking Sound, I actually have the opportunity to cover CES every year, which is the consumer. It's the Consumer Electronics Show, it's really interesting. We do 8 hours of live coverage for 3 days in a row. This year, I did, all told between the 3 days, about 6 hours of coverage. And in that time, not in my 6 hours, but within the 24, one of the devices that I saw was a device that is a wearable for people to be able to tell when their bladder is actively getting full.
Interesting.
So it's, you know, you basically attach it with a small amount of electrogel, medical tape, and then you pop the battery pack and transceiver in your pocket, and it sends you a alert on your phone. And I was like, A, for people that had issues like I had, that's fantastic. You could make that an alert on your phone that could wake you up, you know, so that you don't have an issue. All kinds of stuff, and especially whenever you're talking about older people. So, yeah, very discreet ways, things like that, that can help people out in this modern day and age.
Oh, yeah, and discreet is the key word. I mean, every single person that's come up to me has tried to be discreet, even though it's been at the grocery store, the airport, the school parking lot, yeah, the golf course, pick a place.
Absolutely.
They always kind of pull me off to the side, which is so interesting because they know they need to get, they know they have a problem, but they don't want anyone to know. And a lot of these solutions that I write about in my book are discreet. They're for your benefit and for your quality of life. And so I just want people to know, it's why I wrote the book, I Married a Blank Doctor Who Fixes Women Too, is that there are solutions for your urological problems, and I want to get the conversation started so that people will kind of identify with themselves or the ones they love and be brave enough to seek the answers to solve their issues.
Amen. That's really it. The last part, being brave enough to seek the answers to solve your issues, whether it's coming to someone like you so that they can, because I mean, I'm sure your default answer to people that are like, hey, should I go see your husband, is if you're coming to me to ask me the question, just go make an appointment.
Right, exactly. And they don't think it's serious enough to make an appointment. Isn't that interesting?
That's one of those I'm not even involved in the situation, and that would be my immediate answer, was if you're asking the question, go make an appointment, people.
It's funny though, but people give you an extreme one. It happened in the parking lot of the high school. One of the moms, of course, made her way secretly over to me because you know how you line up with your cars.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, hi, Mrs. Reese. I have a quick question if you don't mind me asking. And she was so nervous. She goes, my husband's kind of having a problem, and I wondered if you could ask your husband if he should come and see him. And I'm like, well, sure. What's going on? She goes, well, when he gets an erection, it kind of hurts him. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Why? She says, well, when he gets an erection, his penis not only bends up, but almost backwards like a fish hook. And it's really causing a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And you can imagine my shock. And I had to act so calm, cool, and collected. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm totally happy to ask him. And then curiosity killed the cat. I'm like, can I ask you a question? And she's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, how do you get it in? And she said, well, I don't. That's the problem. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
So the husband was never going to get help for himself, even though he was suffering every time he had an erection. It's called Peyronie's disease.
Yeah.
But the wife was suffering because the husband was no longer able to, you know, perform in a way that would work anymore. And it was starting to cause problems in the marriage.
Yeah.
And so she secretly hunted me down because he wasn't going to call and make an appointment because they didn't know what was happening.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And like we were saying before the show, so frequently, it's the case that it is hidden from family members, hidden from loved ones, the issues that we have, or it's the loved ones that seek the help for us.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. So, yeah, let's get this conversation started, and you can go out and get my book, and there's all kinds of, you know, it's a lighthearted approach.
Yeah.
Because you've got to giggle along the way because it gets too serious, and that's, nobody wants to deal with serious. We all want to have a nice little chuckle, and then we'll secretly take care of our business once we are ready to or
sure.
We know how.
Well, and we've got it up on screen right now. It is available in the Amazon bookstore. You can go there and find it, folks. You can also find it right on the Dudes and Beer bookstore. through Amazon. If you're an Amazon shopper, like the books by our guests, people like Madeline Zech Ruiz that we have had on this evening, stop on by dudesandbeer.com/store. You can buy the books there. You can also buy them straight up on Amazon. You can also go to imarriedadoctor.com and buy anything there as well.
Yes, I did do the book in 14 languages.
That's awesome.
So odds are, for your audience, I have your language. I have 7 non-Latin-based languages. So, and I also have audiobook in 8 languages. I did the English version myself, and you'll catch me chuckling a few times as I tell the story because it's my life. And I'm not a doctor, so I do find the subject entertaining. But I've also learned to be the human conduit to my urological husband here, who is the one who can solve the problem. So my message is go find your board certified urologist or urogynecologist and get your problem solved and get your quality of life back.
Well, and that's just it. Be willing to have the conversation. Be willing to be open. Be willing to say that, I might need to seek some medical assistance, and that's okay. Be willing to realize that those things in lady parts, leakage, that kind of stuff, may need medical assistance. You know, all it takes is a conversation with your doctor, an ultrasound or two, you know, things like that, and they will be able to tell if you actively need medical assistance. If you're just one of those that, you know, you had 3 babies and when you chuckle, you leak a little bit. But that's not to say that cannot be fixed as well. So go see your urologist.
Yep, it sure can be alleviated. So you can
that's
get
right.
back to jumping around your workout. You don't need to leak. You really,
that's
really
right.
don't.
That's right. These things cause us inordinate amounts of embarrassment. They actively affect our quality of life, the way that we live our life, if we live a life.
Right.
Like I was saying with the good doctor earlier, like I was one of those kids that, I had a friend who had the same problem. And when he moved away, guess I'll be spending Saturdays at home. I won't be going to a lot of sleepover parties and hangouts and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and you're not alone. Everybody, you're not alone out
that's
there.
Right.
I'm telling you, this is so common. I'm not a doctor. I'm just the wife of the urologist. And after 20 years of being married to this man in my town, I can assure you, everybody has some type of urological problem or will at some point in their life. And that surprised me. And now I just want everyone to be able to talk about it and go to your urologist and get help. It's so easy. Just get help.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I would love to have both you as well as your husband on again to talk about this topic, as well as about things like dream reading.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about it all.
Did not realize that you were a dream reader as well. So, we will definitely be talking about that. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Make sure to stop on by, everybody. Go and check out imarriedadickdoctor.com. That is where you can find the book. That is where you can go ask questions, whatnot. Make sure to go on by dudesandbeer.com. Please do hold the line while we close things out here real quick, Madeline. Dudesandbeer.com, that's where you can find this episode, all our episodes. That's where you can find the knowledge vault, folks. All kinds of, like, the CIA just did a huge dump of all of their UFO files. The Black Vault got them. I got a copy of What the Black Vault Got. I had, like, thank you, listeners. Thank you, friends of the show who are guests of the show. I got, I don't know how many links to the zip files from the Black Vault. I am actively looking at having him on the show right now. We're in the midst of contacting them. So, amazing stuff coming down the pipeline. Welcome to 2021, everyone. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. If you can't be good at it. Stop on by. It's Universal Network. That's our family. Tons of great shows there. Take care, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.